Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, peace be upon you. Good afternoon this Sunday, April 19, 2020. And this is your host, Wissam Sharafuddin, speaking to you. We are in this together on Dearborn Blog. We are in this together is a non-scripted, live, non-profit broadcast by Dearborn Blog to have a conversation that becomes oral history for our lives, our human lives, during the COVID-19 pandemic, also known as the coronavirus pandemic. These are personal stories of our lives during these unprecedented social isolation measures in a globalized world. Today, my guest will be Brother Hadi Shatila from Beirut. Hadi is a Lebanese visual artist fusing between the values of the East and the West in an interdisciplinary fashion. Media specialist, an educator, a videographer, and a top-notch designer, creator, and writer, poet, singer, a musician. The list goes on. And it's not just labels and talk. He actually got his work to back him up, as I am a witness to that. I've been friends with Hadi for a very long time. Hadi, welcome to the studio.
Hello, Wissam. Thanks for having me here.
So I've known Hadi for a very long time, and I consider him one of the top graphic designers in the Middle East, if not in the world altogether. His work has been really instrumental for the branding for so many big organizations. Here in Dearborn, although he's in Beirut, but here in Dearborn, a lot of the logos that are in Dearborn has been designed also by Hadi, among which was Irshad, First Wireless X, etc. The Muslim Scouts, I think, of Michigan, the old one, and other organizations. So Hadi, this is, as you know, it's a conversation about how we're living in this together. This pandemic has actually united us as humans in the same type of suffering almost, or in the same type of consequences of it, that we are facing the same. We actually can understand globalization in a better way because of this. We discovered that we are so much alike all over the world. The information age has united us further and has brought us even closer to each other. And we can not assume individualism or national isolation anymore. What happens in one end of the world affects the rest of the world. True. So my first question to you is, how are you doing these days?
Since I was a freelancer before, like a couple of years back, I've been used to living at home and working from home. I changed that a bit, like at the end of summer, I started working a full-timer at an international telecom company. By then, some of my habits had changed. Eventually, COVID-19 came and threw me back a couple of years, and I'm back to working from home. So it's not a new thing to me, but it's something that I was avoiding. I was trying to avoid. But if I want to look at it the positive way, I have more time on my hands. I'm closer to my family in a way. Although it's scary, if you look at it from another point of view, the possibility of getting infected or actually transmitting the infection. But other than that, it keeps you getting closer to the things you might have missed out on in earlier times.
So you're living in Beirut today. Can you give us a general feeling? Although this is not really a news channel and we're not here to report on the news, but just from your personal perspective,
yeah,
how is this affecting Beirut? What is different? How are people reacting? And what is the situation over there?
It's a wide spectrum of things. First of all, if you want to take how the security measures that have been taken into consideration, you're not allowed to be moving out and about between 7 p.m. and 5 a.m. So there's curfew. In addition to, there's a program for cars. They have even numbered cars. They move on certain days, and odd numbered cars move on other days. And on Sundays, no car activity is allowed, unless you are unless you have a press card, a medical card. Depends on what you work. Certain jobs can have access to the roads when needed. So there's less traffic in general. There's less crowded spaces. Most of the people are staying at home. Some are breaking the rules. Some aren't. And it's a blend of things. But due to the general populace sticking to the precautionary measures, we're seeing recession in the speed of infection. So if we work with the numbers given out by the Ministry of Health, we can be positive when looking at, like, after these couple of months, the rate of infection has declined, and we might be seeing a better outcome very soon. So we're looking to this positive prospect. And they're increasing the testing. They're doing whatever they can, basically. Of course, there are these cases which go out of the ordinary or out of the rules, which are like in certain places here and there. It's not like something which is predisposed or pre-calculated. It's just like it happens.
So the government has imposed social distancing.
Yes, it has, and there are measures which have been broadcasted on TV, social media. They have campaigns going on just to keep people in the vibe. There's a call, the hotline, for if you have any if you have any questions about COVID or about the precautionary measures in details. If you want to say something, there are also lines for mental health support. They're all active, so it's like the community is all working together to let us like go through this in the least problematic way. That's when we talk socially. If you want to talk economically, that's another aspect. That one is a bit scary because prices are going up. The rate of the official rate of the dollar, Lebanese pounds to dollar, is different from the black market rate. And like it's like around 200% difference.
So tell me, what is it according to?
So $1 is officially around 1,500 Lebanese pounds. Uh-huh. And the black market and the market that everybody is being affected by, it's around 3,100 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like double. That's affecting prices of everything. And you, of course, you've got people who are taking advantage of the situation. Like, for example, in Lebanon, prior to COVID, the average price of 30 eggs is around 5,000 Lebanese pounds. So now that same 30 eggs costs more than double the price. It's like around 12,000, and it's rising. And every other thing, all products which are either local or international, either have been... either they have not been found in the market, or they're very expensive. So what you used to pay like in the market, like if you used to pay $100, you're paying now $200, or
Well, salaries didn't change.
Salaries didn't change for those who have been getting their salaries in the dollar, because Lebanon has a two currency market. So you have people getting their salaries in dollars, others getting their salaries in Lebanese pounds. And many of those getting their salaries have been getting 50% since COVID started. Some companies took the low line and started taking extra measures since their work not destroyed, or it's been like minimized during COVID. So they've taken the measures onto their workforce and gave them 50% of their salaries. Not all, of course, but many of them. And some of them stopped giving salaries at all. So you have that side, which in addition to social distancing, one should like be careful at trying to help people around them, support, like many charities have been put up and many initiatives to help people have been put up. For example, people have been trying to arrange weekly or monthly goods drive, like they pack boxes filled with necessities for people to survive this time. Many initiatives, and you have on the other side sometimes, like for example, the syndicate for bakeries decides to stop giving bread out unless you come over to the source of the bread, to the bakery. So you no longer find bread at supermarkets nor at mini markets or shops. You have to go to the bakery to get them.
Did the inflation also affect the price of bread?
It will, although it's being supported by the Ministry of Finance. But, you know, like many of the people who work in like the heads of markets and heads of the economic drive, they tend to feel weak and try to take advantage of the current situation.
So sandwich الفلافل عند خليفة قد ايه اليوم؟
I didn't check that out, but I'm sure that it should have increased at least at least 25%, at least. Because you know sometimes like if the product or service is like built on something from outside of the country, it automatically goes wild. Uh-huh. But local things shouldn't go wild, but they are going wild in price. Uh-huh.
So it's Lebanon is in a peculiar situation because you were in the midst of a revolution or movement or social instability that has been going for a while, like almost a year. And it was you're also in the middle of economic instability and a currency crisis, and banks did not have the currency and the fluidity and people were suffering from inflation. How did this affect what was going on? How can you distinguish? Like, I feel like it's a little bit confusing.
It is, and it's all related. Mm-hmm. If we go back till to when the uprising started happening, the social unrest back to the 17th. Banks were already having issues with dollars, so that they tried to link these things together to put the blame on those in the uprising. That's number one. Banks started doing, like for example, they started putting a weekly limit of, let's say you were allowed a week limit of $1,500, then it became $1,000 per week, then it became $500 per week, up until before the COVID arrangements, it became to $200 per 2 weeks. And a limit of per week, sorry, and a limit of $600 per month. That's part of the banks. Other banks were giving $100 per month. Even though you might have like $30,000 in the bank, you weren't allowed to take any of that money out. They put limits to our online spending. They put limits to our ATM access. Even transactions were withheld. If you have a check, you can't like cash it easily. It has to go into your account and just sleeps there. And then they created something called the fresh money scheme. The fresh money scheme helps those who have access to dollars from outside of Lebanon to instantaneously cash them. So many companies took that road and started giving companies who search for the welfare of their employees. They went on that road and started giving either 50% of the allowance of the salaries via fresh money and the rest normally to your normal account, or your full salary to your fresh account. And some others didn't do any of these procedures. You were stuck with your salary going to the bank, and then you have to solve your issues with the bank. Now at this moment, personally, I can't go to the bank and ask for my dollars. Although my account isn't dollars, I can go and ask for my dollars. The only way I can get my dollars out is that if I pay if I get them cashed out in Lebanese pounds, so that I have, so $1 is 1,515 according to the official rate. And many schemes were given out by Riyad Salami to like help in the issue, but they were all schemes. They were like things that get you in more economical trouble later on, like a quick exit. So till now, there is no trust with the banking sector, nor with Riyad Salami. I, as many other Lebanese, are very weary of the situation. We don't trust his strategies. We don't trust the banking sector in general, because at any time they can just close and no, and they won't be accounted for anything. Yani, for now, like, you know, you have like this X number of money in the bank, but you have no actual access unless you want to lose a lot of their value when you cash them
Yeah,
out.
almost 50% of the value with
Yeah,
inflation.
exactly.
Is there any public gatherings? Is there rules against public gatherings, مثلا, and religious gatherings or things like that?
Yeah, churches and mosques over a period of a week or two, they started closing off religious gatherings. They stopped Salat al-Jum'ah, they stopped Sunday church. Many people who have lost loved ones, the ceremonies for the burials and all that which is related were only done via social media or phone calls. No one would go and gather for the burial processions. Other than religious institutions, like queues at the supermarket should be mediated. They should like stand at least a meter and a half away from each other. They tried to do a lot of that. Many people succeeded in doing it. Others did not. Like a lot of commotion would happen when like you'd be passing by a supermarket if you're going out, and that you see like there's a big crowd, because the supermarket is not equipped to make people stand outside, because you know in Lebanon the rules don't really apply to like a practical way to make a supermarket, in which location, how much space is around it, is it in a crowded area, is it in an open area. All these things aren't taken into consideration. Urban planning isn't like there, so that causes other problems. Then you have like, if you want to take public transportation, you have buses and taxis. They stopped the buses, but many taxis stayed working. And then they forced the taxis to take only one passenger. In Lebanon, we have a two system. We have the taxi and we have the service or the service. The service works as like, for example, it's certain radiuses inside an area. They cost for one passenger like 1/5 of the actual taxi. So you can share the ride with multiple people. Now, taxis who primarily work with service have been having issues because they can't take multiple people in the ride. So that caused an issue. Then you have
There's still
transportation.
service? Is still there service?
Yeah, it's still there, but it's awkward. So that you like you go with him. He doesn't have lawfully. He's not allowed to take anybody else. But sometimes they do. So it's the idea is they tried the government tried its best to impose laws to stop people from crowding in areas. But there are always the things which deviate from that.
Yeah, so for our listeners, service is usually like a minivan, like a small size passenger van. So do they like limit one person per bunk?
And then they stopped these minivans for good. They just have you have the cabs which take service like services, you know, like or you take a full cab for yourself. That didn't stop, and they're all limited to the same time from 5 a.m. in the morning till 7 p.m. in the evening.
Okay, thanks, Hadi. So just for the record and for history, today is Sunday, April 19, 2020. The world has confirmed over 2,355,000 cases, recovered about 604,000 cases from coronavirus, with a total death worldwide 162,000. The United States is at 742,000 confirmed cases and recovered about 66,000, and the deaths are nearing 40,000. And Lebanon, which is a small country with a population of about 6 million, right, Hadi?
Yeah. Official records.
Official records.
Yeah.
Let me see. Can I find it? Well, I'll find it later. I'll share the numbers, unless you know it.
I don't know the exact number because there is not an actual updated official record.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably not here because there's no official record. Okay, so we have no official record for Lebanon. Hadi, is the electricity still coming in and out?
Surprisingly, the electricity has been coming more in multiple areas, although it used to cut off from time to time. How do I say it? Like, for example, it used to come outside of Beirut. In Beirut, it comes and it cuts for 3 hours per day only. Outside of Beirut, like in the suburbs, it comes 3 hours or 4 hours, then it cuts for another 4 hours, then comes back for 4 hours, like in sequence. Mm-hmm. Now it's coming even more, less cutoffs, more electricity. I don't know why this is happening, what's the reason behind it, but I guess it's like less burden on the network, on the electricity network, electrical network.
And how is your satisfaction with the new government?
I have my comments on it, but I'm very well sure that it's much better than previous governments, because if this was any similar to Saad Hariri's last government, we would be dying. All the Lebanese would be dying from corona.
So in general, the Lebanese situation, are they kind of a little bit more satisfied than the previous government?
A little bit more satisfied because we didn't actually see, we like got the new government, then we got corona. So it's a tricky thing. So hopefully we pass the corona pandemic, and then the people will be back to gathering, to voicing out their concerns more properly in the streets, over some platforms. They have now a magazine. They have a couple of online TVs. So media-wise, they're better covered. So I guess we have to wait till after Corona and to see where that's going.
Uh-huh. So a country that is as social as Lebanon and Beirut specifically is crowded. So there is a, just for our listeners, so Lebanon is kind of a centralized country where everything takes place in Beirut mostly, all the major industries and cultural hub, socioeconomic hub. But most people who live in Beirut, most of them, they have their villages which they can visit. I can say safely the majority of the population is in that case, right? Yeah. So with this situation, have you seen a lot of people moving back to their villages, living there during that time?
Most of the people I know who don't have the need for good, stable internet have actually moved back to the villages. Many of those who rely on the internet to work from home didn't make that move or made it in a shy pattern. Exactly. Internet is an issue. Like when you, the farther you get from Beirut, the worse it gets. It's been like that for a while. Yeah. Internet in the villages has becoming better, but it needs time. Although services are getting better, but still the prices are an issue. The fidelity is an issue. Many things plague the sector, as other sectors in Lebanon.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. Hadi, personally, you, how have you been spending your time differently? I know you'd consider yourself an introvert, wouldn't you?
Yeah, true. For me, it's like people are becoming like me. But the good thing is, like, since it's the norm now, I can manage more for some reason. I feel that I have more time on my hands. So after I finish my work schedule, I have a bit more energy to do something else. I guess it's like because I'm not commuting to work and back and not into all this extra load, so I still have more time to do something else. So I've been working on tutorials to spread online, to share online, and I've been taking my tutorials myself on things which I didn't have time to do. I've been reading more. I loaded the Kindle with a couple of new novels and books to read. So I'm trying to use my time the best as I could, and I'm sleeping more. So it's a big bundle of joy for me in this time, on a personal level, of course.
Right. Yeah, I find although I'm working on a regular schedule during the week, so I still wake up early. But I've actually started waking up even earlier for some reason. But in general, I've been getting a lot better, more sleep, and I feel it has benefited my health greatly. Like I feel a lot less stress and a lot more healthy, a lot less inflammations and stuff, just because of I guess better sleep and less interacting with toxicity. Because you know, when you're interacting socially, you can't help but sometimes get in touch with
toxic people
that will affect you without you feeling.
True.
Later on, your body stores it. So because we our habit, and we are in this together, Hadi, is we'll ask the every time we have a guest, they add a question to be asked to all the guests. And as we increase the number of episodes, these number of questions are increasing, so we need more time for them. So I guess we can start with them now. So okay. I'll start with a question from Hadi Al-Dibba. The question is, what is the last epiphany or aha moment that you had?
Last epiphany or aha moment. When I was going through the loads and loads of videos that covered conspiracy theories on Corona, from the 5G issue, the Spanish flu issue, the lab issue, the defrosting of the permafrost, causing cold sicknesses to come. I had like serious numbers of aha moments while trying to read all this data and trying to sort out which is true and which is not. So I had lots of aha moments. The last one was the 5G versus Wuhan 5G city and the coronavirus pandemic.
Do you want to tell us more about it?
They were speculating in a couple of articles I read that the placement, the deployment of 5G technology and the launch of 5G technology in Wuhan might be the trigger or the catalyst for the coronavirus to start. If you cross reference the data, it might look like as if it happens, but when you go through the medical stuff and check out what are the adverse effects of the Wi-Fi of the 5G network, you would see that it wouldn't like reprogram a virus or like change something in RNA or DNA. So that takes the issue off. But if you like read it if you take a quick read, you might like actually believe it and might push it forward or even share it online. Because they use the medical lingo to push you.
It's another conspiracy theory, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. After like cross-referencing, asking a couple of doctors I know, some people who are into the telecoms services, so I got to a very clear answer that it doesn't. But you know, like if you look at the dates when they were deployed in Wuhan, how much time it took for the pandemic to start. The other part is like Chinese government has been laying low since early October. All these other things, like they make you feel as if this conspiracy theory is like pinpoint on.
Yeah, we actually had the Arab American Center for Culture and Arts. We had a guest speaker, Professor Ali Adib from New York University, a graduate from Columbia University, and he was talking about the conspiracy theories during coronavirus.
Yeah.
He addressed that as one of the conspiracy theories. If you like to see it live, it's on dearbornblog.com. Or if you like to see it on Facebook, it's on facebook.com/Arab American CCA. If you look for Arab American Center for Culture Analysis, you'll find it.
Okay.
Hadi, what was the last film that you saw?
Last film I saw was a couple of days back. It's an old film. It's like from the 90s. I forgot the name. It's about Brad Pitt. He works as a lawyer. And there's Kevin Bacon who was at this juvenile delinquency center. And he rapes the children.
This is becoming a quiz for
all. I'm trying to get the name.
If they can guess it.
Robert De Niro, Kevin Bacon.
Lebanese pounds.
I'm not sure of the name. I can search for it and send it back to you. I didn't get the name because it was on a movie network and they didn't put the name. So I started like 5 minutes into the film. It's a nice story, which the director and writer say was based on a true story, but it was then refuted by the judiciary system in the US. It's quite a nice story. It shows you how one act of negativity might cause somebody to get his life lost, and the other way, if you even might be touched by something bad, you might take your life back and like work on it. Like, it gives you both sides of the thing.
Is it called Kevin Spacey or Kevin?
No, it's Kevin Bacon and Brad Pitt.
Sleepers.
Yes, that's it. That's it. I think.
1996.
Yeah, that's it.
And Robert De Niro.
Yeah, Robert De Niro. He was he takes the role of a pastor.
Yeah. I have been watching mostly films from early 2000s. Just because I don't know, I feel nostalgic for that time specifically, like the pre-internet heavy time, like the You know, by the way, I was talking to someone this morning about this. Maybe you, what do you remember? When did you get your first email?
Yeah, 1997.
Yeah.
What was Yahoo? Hotmail. And Yahoo. I had on Yahoo and then Hotmail.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I think I think it's 95. It was probably AOL.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so Hadi, what do you recommend, Hadi?
I would recommend either a film for Brad Pitt called The Tree of Life.
Brad Pitt right now.
No, it's just a coincidence. Mm. Or Darren Aronofsky's film, The Fountain.
Hadi recommends The Fountain.
Yeah, Darren Aronofsky is the director. And there's this Turkish film, it's buzzing around. It's a sweet, emotional one, humanitarian. Uh-huh. It's called The Gift, The Miracle in Cell Number 7.
Yeah, you know, it's based on a South Korean film.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Mm.
The Fountain. Okay. And... Zainab Rida, she says that the name of the film is Sleepers.
Yeah, that's my wife. Rida,
you win 1,000 Lebanese pounds.
Yeah, I'll give it to her. I'll give her the 1,000 when I get back back to the other room.
Okay. Just for our American audience who are not familiar with the lira, yani they might be incentivized. Hadi, what was any new music you recommend?
Any new music? Well, that's a hard one.
Now you're a musician yourself, but is there anything that out there that you want our audience to listen to or experiment with?
I listened to this thing on YouTube. It's called Better Days. It's the artist is not somebody mainstream. It's just it just has positive vibes. I suggest that. It's called Better Days. It's like a support track, but it's very nice musically, and I shared it with lots of friends.
There's Better Days by One Republic. There's Better Days by Bruce Springsteen?
No, no, not those. Let me check my laptop. 1 minute.
Yeah, I have actually, I have come myself to be exposed to a singer who is Moroccan but lives in Paris. She's yani Moroccan.
Indila?
No, her name is let me see exactly so I can give you the right one. And she has this recording in her living room or something, or someone's house. Yeah. She's very casual. I just loved the vibe of it. I loved the you know, the casualness of it.
Okay, his name is Arman Jekin. It's with a C, but it's pronounced J.
Oh, it's Arman Jekin. He Turkish?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. His bio doesn't show his actual origin nationality. Like, he's European now. I guess in Germany. Arman Jekin. Yeah, that's the one.
Mm. Cool.
This is a remix.
It's not the original one?
No, no. I guess I'm not sure if it's due to the stream that it sounds slower. Not sure.
Is it? Okay. Let me show you the one I came across, which I enjoyed a lot. Once the commercial is over.
Getting a great deal. What? It's totally free. So do yourself and your...
You can skip it.
Yeah. I'm not gonna play the whole thing, but so I like the combination of I feel it's kind of like a global song, you know?
Global jazz?
It is the jazz alternative. There is a double bass, there is a trumpet, and there is a little percussion. And she's, you know, Moroccan, Parisian. It's very multicultural.
Mm-mm.
The room looks a lot French because of this wood piece above the fireplace.
Yeah, yeah.
Very French housing. And she sings it in three languages. So I feel it's a very global song.
Uh-huh.
It unites us just like the pandemic that we're living in.
That's Moroccan.
So I'll share the link here for our audience. You thought,
are you with us?
You should have finished the program by yourself, Hadi. Next question, Hadi, I'm going to ask you is by one of our guests also on the We Are in This Together, Dr. Adnan Jaber. How are we going to remind ourselves about the lessons we learned during this pandemic? So we are learning lessons right now, but do you think we're going to just forget about them after this is over?
I don't think we would forget totally, but I think we will forget. Yeah, it's like people tend to, especially this is like a general social experience with everybody else, it won't be considered for the person as if it's like a personal thing. So when it resolves, it will like go down in history as a thing we just passed for the general populace. For some people, no, they will for sure build on it. For example, for me, I no longer trust banks completely. Like I know that they would trick you at every spot they can. I know that I can't count on a lot of people in my society because they would wait for the least issue to rob me of anything. Like they might increase the prices of things. They might use that to their advantage. On the other side, I know that there are many other people whom I know that I can count on because they can build real social networks and work and like helping each other out. They ask around to help their neighbors. They ask around to help their people in their society. They like put an effort to pay it forward in a positive manner. So it's a mixture of things, but sadly, I think as of the human nature, many will forget.
Yeah. What are some of the lessons you think you personally, and you have learned? Some things have changed in you during this pandemic that will never go back normal.
I know
normally and go back to the old ways, you know,
like many of the I used to always think that after like a very long experience trying to make a work from home thing work out, and it didn't work out for me. Like now COVID made it clear that it can happen, as many companies like our company, for example, can work online without the actual need of somebody being in the office. Of the workflow, it might have had some hiccups a couple of weeks when COVID processes started, but later on became a normal workflow with punching in and out using digital methods, digital monitoring, etc. So that's one of the things. Like I know that for sure. Like when everything goes back to normal, they companies will like, no, you have to be in the company for the flow to work. You know, this is of the things. Like although I thought it was wrong, but now I'm back to like, it's no, 100% it's right. And I was right when I said I can do work from home. Yeah. And this time of age, mainly.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that will never go back normal.
Is yeah, that, because now it's clear for everybody that commerce doesn't need you to be there to actually make to do your job, to finish something out. You can't do it remotely unless it actually needs you to push something with your hand. Which is not automated anymore. But yeah. As long as we have laptops and most of our professions and things we do are laptop based or computer based, then why should we be at a desk while we do them?
Right.
At the desk at the office, I mean.
Yeah. I hope that this will be clear for so many. That people like me and you, we already had a conviction that working remotely should be the norm. This took this for everyone to be convinced and to be shown بالقوة, and to be shown by force that this is actually true. Hadi, a question by Alex Sharafuddin. What are some of the things you are accomplishing staying at home during the pandemic? I feel this will be one of the interview questions of the future. Like, what did you achieve during the coronavirus pandemic?
Yeah, true. For me, I'm giving more time on advancing my skills in whatever field I know I can do something in, and sharing knowledge. I have more time to share knowledge with other people. Since now, using voice calls and voice meeting, video meetings, video calls and video meetings is now quite a norm. So it's easier for people to group up via video, and makes it easier for people to commit to certain times to follow up something. So like we can watch a tutorial together, we can discuss something together. I was teaching online, and I still am teaching online at the university, my design class, my digital design class. So so we found out that like, it's an easy step as long as the internet is fine and the resources are there, so it's easy. So if I want to sum it up, my greatest accomplishments is I learned better to use my skills and to share these skills with others.
Can you give us a tip? Can you give us one hint, one tip?
Always write down the things you want to share, to break them down and start working on the smaller pieces, and eventually the big picture, the big puzzle fits in. So don't look at the project as a big thing or a big like 1 hour video. Look at it as a small, maybe 3 minute tips. So start working on each tip on its own, and eventually it will build up to something big.
Do you save these videos separately?
Yeah, they're not one run, and I write my ideas on a paper first. I develop them and start recording whenever I can, because I'm usually opening the interface of the software and I'm talking over it. So it's easy to blend it together.
So you're talking about creating like online courses, right?
Yeah, online courses. Sometimes they're not software related. They're more like tips and tricks. Mm-hmm. But the resources are there. So I can like show them a website I rely on, a library I tend to work on, some plugins. You know, the whole workflow, how I think, the software I use, that might help me while creating something, the digital gadgets. Sometimes it's a tablet, sometimes it's this digital accessory, whatever, like mobile apps. It's a combination of all these years of experience that I've had till now on whatever platform I've been using.
Have you thought of sharing these on YouTube also?
I'm planning to start releasing them with a schedule starting the 1st of Ramadan, inshallah.
By the way, any different plans for Ramadan during this pandemic?
Since it's your home most of the time, I was hoping like if you can switch the timeline, like maybe when it's day, it's like more cozy, less work, etc. And work starts like 4 hours prior to Maghrib, and then you stay on throughout the night. You do your job, your other thing, and then go back. You know, just flip the time. It might be hard for people.
You just fast at night. Huh? Then everyone wins. If you fast at night.
Yeah. Okay, that flips it around a lot. That's a double coin flip. That's a trick.
Okay. A question from Hadid Dibi, we already did it. A question from Amr Zahar. What food reminds you of your childhood?
One second.
Okay. Zainab, can you guess? If you guess, you get 10,000. 10,000. if she's still watching. Okay, go ahead, Hadi. She lost the opportunity.
Okay, the food that reminds me of my childhood is the smell of, it's like manoush zaatar, thyme pies or thyme bread. Mm-hmm. The smell of the sizzling oil, that reminds me of my childhood. It takes me back to when I used to stand in front of the shop inside the school to buy the manoushi and the juice, which was sugar and water back then. It wasn't really juice. But it takes me back to that time. The smell just takes me back, way back.
Awesome. It reminds me of manoush tizata that I ate it with you in Markaba, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it?
True. From Markaba.
From the woman's house. She sold them
from
the house. old good days. Okay, question from Argentina, Kathy Brown from Argentina. What do you think the ideal outcome of this pandemic at a personal level and at a collective level?
Ideal. Okay, this is too idealistic, but I'll try to make it as simple as possible. On a personal level, I think we should start to be humbled and know that we connect on a very basic level with everybody, and know that this connection is not—it's not because of the pandemic. It was there, but it was clouded by many things that we were busy with. But with the pandemic, we're supposed to like find these lines and connect properly to them, with everybody. We should like go ahead humbly and know that everybody is like everybody else, and we might all be affected negatively or positively by these things happening due to the pandemic. On a collective level, it builds on that personal one. We should build these bridges and connect properly with each other. We shouldn't like, if you know somebody, like some people here in Lebanon were acting out and like weren't talking about their probable infection with Corona because they were afraid that they will be that the quarantine is something of a bad thing to happen, and they're not supposed to say it because it might cause them like bad mouthing. You know, it's like being ashamed to say that you're sick with Corona, or maybe sick with something else, but it might be symptomatic with Corona. It caused a lot of issues with people. Some people would hide it and they would infect multiple other people just because they were shy of stating it. So we should be humbling ourselves and connecting at a better level with everybody and finding the best ways to look at things positively. Because if we start like stacking up the negatives, of course everything would look bleak and we might like dive into a depression. We might go frantic. We might go very, very, very far and bad in the mental health sphere. So
Hadi, take off your hand from my face, Hadi.
Yeah, sorry.
Because it's a virus issue. Zainab said olives without the seeds and khalto Zahra.
Yeah, that works too, also.
Yeah? Well, that's cost you 10,000 lira.
Yeah.
Now you owe her 11,000.
I owe her a lot more.
Zainab, if he doesn't pay you 11,000, please contact the American Embassy. We will escalate it. Hadi, I got another question. And this is the final question before you ask your own question from Hanan Yahya. How are you developing yourself and healing yourself?
Okay. Developing myself, as I said, like learning a lot of things from the resources online. Many courses were laid for free using online learning platforms. Reading, like opening up more time for reading was a good thing for my personal development. As for healing, me being a mental health freak at the moment, after passing through 3 years of a very harsh depression, I became more attached to the notion of helping people out. Whoever get close to depression, anxiety, and these other topics that plague our society even more than Corona. So I find that healing myself starts with helping others heal, if that makes sense.
That's nicely put. And thank you for speaking about emotional situations or mental illness openly, because that's one of the stigmas in our society.
Yeah.
That we stigmatize speaking about them. And I know it's even harder. Here in the community, we talk about that. And I know it's even harder in Lebanon. The stigma is even larger. And it is
mental health is still considered as like being in the cuckoo's nest. You know, they don't consider it something which you have no control over. It's like any other sickness you might get. You might get the flu, for example, without knowing why. You might get depressed due to something turning off in your brain, and you don't know why that happened. So it's nothing I can do anything about. Why should I be afraid of it? Why should I be shy about it? I know I am supposed to speak out for those who are less fortunate to understand it, to start to understand it.
Yeah, thank you. Is there a movement in Lebanon for destigmatizing talking about mental health?
Yeah, recently there have been a lot of support systems, one of which is called the Embrace Network. They're an anti, they work to prevent suicide. They're a suicide hotline for starters and mental health support. They were the first hotline to emerge in Lebanon as an NGO, non-governmental hotline. And they have a lot of people who support this network and work on, like for free. They just give their time for this cause. They get trained to support people on the phone and later on to take them to the right proper psychiatric lines. So this is one of the most networks that has grabbed my attention. They're on Instagram, they're on Facebook, and they're very, very nice people and very supportive. Shout out to them, Embrace Network.
Okay. By the way, Zainab wants the payment in dollars, Hadi. So that's about 90 cents, just to let you know.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I'll say something in Arabic called Yama Sitte An Jid. Yama Ela Sitte An Jid.
Very nice of you. Hope to one day meet you both very soon.
Inshallah.
Hadi, what is the last segment of this interview? What is the question that you want to ask us, and you will answer yourself, and then it will be your question that will be asked to every guest after you?
Okay, this is a hard one. I've been trying to find the particular question to ask since the time you gave me a heads up about it. So what I would say is, what did the COVID-19 pandemic, what's the worst thing the COVID-19 pandemic brought out in you, or from you? What's the worst thing you found out, you discovered about yourself while under the COVID-19 processes, like staying at home for that length of time, working from home, not being able to, like, it's the other way, like the person who is an extrovert who has to stay at home and feel the introvert's way of life. What's the worst thing that occurred to you or you discovered about yourself while under these strict rules, let's say, if you had strict rules, because some countries don't have really strict rules up till now.
Yeah, Sweden.
Yeah.
You're a very positive country. So Hadi, what's your answer?
My answer. I wouldn't say patience, because that was something I really worked hard to get. Some people get impatient. I know that from I asked that question to a couple of people. So for me, worst thing is that I still have a little bit of, I'm a bit derelict, and I forgot the word for it in English. Taswif in English. Procrastination. I still have that, although I thought I got rid of it. But the first weeks of the pandemic, it was like coming back at a very scary rate. I consider it's the worst thing. It's the worst attribute I have till now. It's procrastination. But I'm trying my best, like, to snuff it out. As gamers would say, nerf it.
Uh-huh. So that you discovered that about yourself during the pandemic?
I've had traces of it. I've known it was there, but I've never confronted it, nor did I accredit that I do have it. So in the pandemic, I had to go face to face with it. That's why I'm trying my best to fill my time with things like reading tutorials, creating tutorials. Like, that makes you fit your schedule better and not push things from here and there.
Yeah, for me, I don't know. It's a really hard question and needs a lot of honesty. But I think I've discovered about myself. Thank you for the nice view, Hadi.
Sorry, it flipped on its own. 1 minute.
I think I've discovered about myself that maybe I'm sometimes moody. Like, you know, sometimes I would switch for some reasons I don't know into a not a very pleasant mood.
Yeah.
I have no idea where does it come from. It's maybe unconscious accumulation of something.
Probably.
So I've witnessed it because during these times we have very, very constant circumstances, right?
Yeah.
Like it's kind of an experiment. Like this is the control where everything is same, stable, so anything else will show up for no other reason to blame. So I discovered, that without really any confrontation or an encounter. But I mean, I'm reading, I'm interacting online, so it might also have an influence. But that I switch, sometimes I just become not in a very pleasant mode, and I just need some time. So, you know, I've learned how to handle it by taking a long walk or meditation or, staying to myself so I wouldn't rub it off on someone else or affect others. But very good question.
Nice one.
Thank you, Hadi. Yeah. Any final words before we depart?
Thanks for this experience. I find it very nice to be getting all these records from people. Maybe like in 100 years, somebody finds them out and gets to know why we ruined Earth. And knows that there were some people who weren't responsible for it.
Well, thank you very much, Hadi, and thank
you're
you
welcome.
To the audience for following us. I think our next broadcast will be Tuesday night. I will leave the guest as a surprise for you all. And Hadi, stay safe in Beirut, and kiss Beirut for us. We miss it. And, I hope all the best for you and the family. And thank you for
being
with us today. Thank you for your time.
I would like to give a shout out to the Termos family, the Shahrour family, and the Ayyub family, and the Sharafuddin family.
That's half of Lebanon.
No, because my in-laws have relatives and brothers and sons in Dearborn from the Termos and Shahrour families. And, you know, the Sharafuddins, you know them. And the Ayyubs, you also know them, my friends from back in the day. So
right.
It's a shout out for all of these people.
Awesome, man. You never forget your friends, Hadi. That's for sure.
Habib.
Thank you very much and have a great evening.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.